It's War Eagle Weekly every Thursday morning from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. Brought to you by Coach and Force Steakhouse. You can find them on Pine Forest Road across from Five Flags Speedway. You can saddle up to the bar and get a half-pound burger with fries and a beer for just $11.95 every day before 6:30. Also brought to you by Bill Clark, who's typically my co-host, my greater half, my partner in crime. We're thick as thieves, but he's feeling a bit under the weather this week, so I'm going to be flying solo. Austin Price, nice to meet you again here every Thursday morning. Also, you can listen to ESPN Pensacola on 99.1 FM, 1330 AM, or on your ESPN Pensacola mobile app. And you can find this episode of War Eagle Weekly and all previous ones on our podcast page at ESPNPensacola.com. I did get an email that was printed out, handed to me from Bill Clark himself. Wanted me to remind you of the Greater Pensacola Auburn Club. They will be hosting watch parties at O'Reilly's downtown for the following games. Auburn versus Tennessee on Saturday, January 25th at 7:30 p.m. Auburn in Florida on Saturday, February 8th at 3 p.m. And Auburn versus Alabama, of course, on Saturday, March 8th at 1 p.m. Obviously, pivotal SEC matchups there. If you know how any of those teams have been doing, and if you know just about the rivalry implications, you know that there's a lot riding on some of those games there. So Bill wanted me to remind you of that. War Eagle and good morning, everyone. Speaking of Auburn men's basketball and some of the games that they've been taking on, well, we've got South Carolina. This one was very important. It's not your most recent game, but it's the first of two that have happened over the course of the last week for the Tigers, and very, very impactful on this season so far in two ways. One, it's got to be one of the closest calls we have seen the Tigers have all season. Only beat the Gamecocks 66-63. I always list the positives. I always list the negatives and impact players on our little script here, and there's really only one positive about this game, and that's that you won it. This was obviously a very difficult win to acquire. South Carolina is a good team, but they're not great. I had this being like a 35-point blowout for the Tigers last week. So to see them only win by a single possession is disappointing, to say the least. But we had Jahni Broome's injury. Of course, he was injured earlier this year with a shoulder issue. Didn't really sideline him, but now he's dealing with an ankle sprain from this game. Good news, if you did want me to tack on another positive there, Broome's injury could have been worse. He's not doing too bad. He was walking in an air cast, putting weight on his left ankle. The injury's not as severe as initially thought, so he may return sooner than anticipated. We're not sure. There's not an exact times table on, okay, he's going to be back this day, at least not that I know of. But yes, he did suffer an ankle sprain in the game. He still played 24 minutes and only got you 6 points, three boards. So an off game was potentially a foot, even if he didn't get injured. It wasn't just him, though. This is a team that usually has five or so players hitting double-digit points. They only had two this game. Only two Auburn players hit double digits in this game. And that leads us into what the biggest takeaway from this game was for me, and that's just how well South Carolina lined up with the Tigers. The Gamecocks, they finished the day with more rebounds and more steals than the Tigers. And that's what should stand out the most. Because if you've learned anything throughout this entire season, when we've been touching on Auburn hoops, it is their defense is phenomenal. It's up in your face. It racks up the blocks. It racks up the steals. And it's always going to be a pain in the behind to try to out-rebound them. This is a team that has a lot of size, a lot of intensity. You got to make your shots count. You got to make your possessions count. They don't give you an ounce of wiggle room. So to see the Gamecocks, which, as I said, they're good. They're not great. To see them beat you in those two categories where you typically shine the brightest, that is a bit concerning. But I also want to mention that the Gamecocks had significantly more points in the paint as well and just one less assist. Those are other areas where Auburn typically thrives. They get a lot of interior scoring going on in every single game that they play. And we've talked about their teamwork. We've talked about the team chemistry and the depth and how everyone builds up the other player. Everyone is working off another. So to see the Gamecocks go toe-to-toe in those regards was a bit of a shock as well. could some of this, at least some of it, if not all of it, have been heavily impacted by Broom's departure? I mean, yeah, because Janiah Broom, if I'm not mistaken, going off memory here, but I believe he's your leading scorer, leading rebounder, leading assister, and he may be your leading stealer as well. I can't even remember. So he leads in a lot of these statistical categories. So when he gets knocked out of the game, you're going to have that problem affecting you on all fronts. So that, I'm sure, didn't help. But again, with how everyone else did, it shows that these matters went beyond just one player's issue, just one player's absence. The best way to put it, South Carolina out-Auburned Auburn. I literally have that on my script. Especially with the Tigers only shooting 50% from the line, they were lucky to survive it. That was another problem, and it's one that we've touched on a couple times throughout this year. Auburn is not as good from the free throw line as they should be. If I've said it once, I've said it a million times. Free throws are free points. You are supposed to make them. It is the game. It is your opponent fouling you and giving you points, giving you the opportunity to score easy points. And if you can't capitalize on that, that can come back to bite you in close games like this. So Auburn's very lucky that they squeaked out of this one. A couple of impact players that I wanted to touch on here, Tahad Pettiford and Miles Kelly. These are two guys that we've mentioned. They're depth players typically. You know, of course, this is Janiah Broom's team, and we touch on sometimes Kelly will have a good game. Pettiford is typically a great player coming off the bench. But these two, they are the ones that hit double-digit points in this game. And the latter of the two, Miles Kelly, also snagged 6 rebounds. So these guys really helped step up, lead the charge, obviously game-changers in such a narrow victory. And I got to tell you, heading into the Mississippi State game on Tuesday, this game left me very, very concerned. We've previously applauded Auburn with how they've been able to overcome adversity, be triumphant with their team. It's a team game, and they really capture that. They don't let Janiah Broom do everything, and when he gets hurt or when he is out or when he's not having a great game, the rest of the team has previously been able to prove that they can step up as a unit, and we didn't really see much of that this game, so that scared me. I mean, I was white as a ghost when it came to that Mississippi State game that happened on Tuesday. Mississippi State, of course, being high-ranked. But before we get into that game and how that turned out, I do want to remind you, you're listening to War Eagle Weekly every Thursday morning from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola, brought to you by Coach and Four Steakhouse and Bill Clark. Austin Price here in the studio with you. Looking at this Mississippi State game, just to summarize what I just said, I was scared. But Auburn proved me wrong. Just when I thought, uh-oh, it's going to happen, they're going to have their first, with Janai missing, they're probably going to have their first slip-up, their first loss. That is not what happened even in the slightest. Auburn absolutely decimated Mississippi State, 88-66. I said there was only like one or two positives to take away from the South Carolina game. That is not the case here. Where do you not have a positive in this Mississippi State win? You dominated them on field goal percentage. You dominated them on three-point percentage. You also had more assists, more steals, more blocks. You never let them lead. You were up by as much as 26 points en route to the 22-point win. Last but not least, remember how I said, your free throws got to get better. You shot only 50% against the Gamecocks. You shot 80% against the Bulldogs. That is phenomenal. And it's not perfect, but it's what I'm asking for. That is not too much to ask. 80% from the line with a team of this caliber. That is perfect. This game served as the perfect pick-me-up for Auburn after Broom's injury and that close finish. So at this point, as you can imagine, because I'm assuming you're in a similar boat, I cannot fathom what Auburn's going to do in their next game. I'm starting to think the Gamecocks were a bit more of just an outlier. Maybe Auburn overlooked them a bit. I don't know. I don't know what was going on in their minds. I don't know what they were. I don't know how they were approaching this game that was any different from a technical standpoint, that is. I don't know if they tried to mix something up and it just didn't work out, try something new. But it wasn't working, whatever it was. But hey, The SEC is pretty deep. We're going to be touching on just how deep the SEC is later in today's episode, because we've got a pretty loaded slate coming up over these next few days of just nothing but ranked SEC action. Even the teams that aren't ranked, they're putting up good records right now. SEC is unbelievably deep in basketball this season. So there's all kinds of good teams. There's going to be tricky teams, trap games, whatever. They're all the more likely to happen in a conference like what we've got going on this season. But I don't know. It could have just been an anomaly. We'll have to see. But back to the Mississippi State game. The negatives I took, there was really only one. And the rebound totals, again, this could be because Broome was absent. But Mississippi State had 12 more rebounds. And to make matters worse, almost half of their rebounds were offensive. Now, if you don't know what that means that the Auburn defense gave them a boatload of chances to rectify missed opportunities. That is the Mississippi State offense getting the ball back after flubbing up a shot, missing a shot. Auburn can't afford to keep giving teams those kinds of opportunities. You gotta work on that. I'm trying not to judge this team because it's not at its best right now. Its best player is missing, and I can't stress that enough. And the rebound mismatch didn't help them. I mean, they still lost by 22. But I've said this before when it comes to the free throw shooting. I said it just minutes ago when it came to the free throw shooting. But I've also said it before when it came to foul trouble. It's better to fix those mistakes now before you're in a position where they can help your opponent. Before you're in a position where they can dictate the outcome of a game. They can change who wins or who loses. Because, as I said again, SEC is pretty tough. It doesn't get any easier. You're going to be facing a lot of ranked competition coming up, and they're not going to go easy on you either. So you just got to keep that in the back of your mind as you go into games moving forward. But, yeah, outside of that, outside of the rebound stuff and how many of them were offensive, very little about this game floored me. I was not nearly as disappointed in Auburn's performance here. How could you be? A ranked win by over 20 points? Come on. Impact players in this one, Chaney Johnson. He put up 17 points, 8 rebounds. So he did a great job of helping plug that hole that Broome's absence has left behind. He did a great job stepping up. Obviously got a good portion of the rebounds there. Chad Baker-Mazzara, he was the leading scorer on the night. He had 20 points. And then you had Miles Kelly again. Look at him, 2 for 2. On the impact player scale for this week. Miles Kelly had a double-double, 13 points, 10 rebounds. So once again, we're seeing it's like the South Carolina game never happened. And that's the way it should be, one game at a time. That's what I love about this Auburn team. They just keep fighting back. The minute they have a setback with Broome, or the minute a game gives them a bit more of a scare than it should, or the minute they're facing a bigger opponent, they lock in, they take over, and they move on. So you got to give Auburn a lot of credit in that regard. A lot of depth, a lot of that chemistry I talked about that was lacking in the South Carolina game showed up in spades in the Mississippi State game. So hopefully, as I said a few minutes ago, that pick-me-up is going to help them in their upcoming game, which we're going to touch on when we come back from break. Saturday, January 18th, Auburn goes to number 23, Georgia. And Georgia's a pretty tricky opponent. I think that's the word I use to describe some of those teams in the SEC. They're tricky. Can be a trap game. Can be a bit more difficult than your average Joe. Georgia definitely matches that description. We will explain how. We will get into how when we return. But until then, you're listening to War Eagle Weekly every Thursday morning from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola, brought to you by Coach and Four Steakhouse. They're on Pine Forest Road, right across from Five Flags Speedway. And brought to you by my co-host, who, if you're just joining us, is missing this week, Bill Clark. Just a bit of a bug. Feeling under the weather. He'll be back next week, and we will be back in just a few minutes.
Hi, I'm Bill Clark, host of War Eagle Weekly here on ESPN Radio. Now that college football regular season has come to a close, tune into War Eagle Weekly Thursdays from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. for the latest on Auburn basketball, as well as other Tiger sports-related news and analysis. My co-host, Austin Price, and I will bring you up to date on the latest Auburn basketball results and preview upcoming games. Tune into War Eagle Weekly every Thursday, 10 to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. War Eagle.
Hi, I'm Rachel with Coach and Four Steakhouse. For 45 years, we've been an owned and operated three-generation family business. We welcome every guest that walks through our doors as an old friend. We're open from 5 to 9 on Wednesday and Thursday, and from 4:30 to 10 on Fridays and Saturdays. Saddle up to our bar and get a half-pound burger with fries and a beer for just $11.95 every day before 6:30. This offer is only available in the bar and cannot be combined with any other coupons, discounts, or specials. Coach and Four Steakhouse on Pine Forest Road across the street from the Speedway.
When the power goes out, your business can't afford downtime. Generator Source in Pensacola keeps your operations running, no matter the weather. From industrial generators to commercial backup systems, they offer the most trusted brands, plus expert installation and 24/7 support. Keep your factory, office, or restaurant powered, even when the grid can't deliver. Visit them online today at GeneratorSource.com and be ready. Rain or shine, Generator Source, powering Pensacola's businesses.
Jimmy, the Mercedes is making a strange noise.
Mr. Fix-It!
Did you just tell me to fix it?
No, I said take it to Mr. Fix-It Auto Clinic. They specialize in all the luxury imports and domestic cars. They've got the latest technologies and the equipment to fix our car. And they have the lowest prices in town.
They're on North Palafox, right?
4701 North Palafox in Pensacola, just north of the Pace Palafox split.
With fully certified technicians and a nationwide warranty on parts and labor, it's Mr. Fix-It Auto Clinic, where one call does it all. 850-741-4274.
Everyone deserves to live a full life, beginning with a nourishing meal. However, right here in our local Gulf Coast community, one in six individuals, including one in four children, face hunger. Feeding the Gulf Coast works with more than 800 community partners across 24 counties along the Florida Panhandle and throughout South Alabama and South Mississippi to help connect individuals with the food they need to thrive. Would you stand alongside us to turn hunger into hope for those who need it most? To get involved or find a food pantry near you, visit feedingthegulfcoast.org.
Hey there, home buyers and sellers. I'm Will.
And I'm Angela.
With Cannell and Company Realty,
your dynamic real estate duo.
We're not just realtors, we're real estate MVPs. With a game plan tailored to your needs, we'll score you the home of your dreams.
Whether it's finding the perfect starter home or selling to upgrade, your goals are our goals, and we'll make sure you come out on top.
So when it comes to real estate, trust us at BuySellCannell.com.
That's BuySellCannell.com.
Calling all sports fanatics in Pensacola. Brace yourselves for the ultimate sports talk experience. Tune in to Greeny with Mike Greenberg, exclusively on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. Weekdays from 9 to 11, Greeny brings you the most insightful analysis from the NFL to the NBA, Major League Baseball to college sports. Greeny dives deep into the stories that matter most with his unique perspective and unparalleled passion. He keeps you hooked from start to finish. Tune in to Greeny on ESPN Pensacola and fuel your sports obsession. It's a home run of a show.
This is your official station for March Madness. College basketball lives here on ESPN Pensacola.
It's War Eagle Weekly every Thursday morning from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. You can listen to us on 99.1 FM, 1330 a.m. or on your ESPN Pensacola mobile app. Welcome back. Austin Price here in the studio with you. Typically got my co-host and one of our sponsors, Bill Clark, here with me. But if you're just joining us, he's under the weather this week. He'll be back next week, of course, and we'll be back to our usual flow of things. But it's no problem. We're just... moving on here, talking about some of the games that have recently happened for Auburn, and what we're going to be talking about next is this game upcoming. But first, I do want to reiterate, this show is brought to you by my co-host Bill Clark and also Coaching Forest Steakhouse. You can find them on Pine Forest Road across from Five Flags Speedway. And I'm also trying to make a point of reminding you here, we do have the Greater Pensacola Auburn Club. They're hosting watch parties at O'Reilly's downtown for the following games, all right? You ready? Got your pen and paper. Auburn in Tennessee on Saturday, January 25th. That is a week from this upcoming Saturday. That's at 7:30 p.m. We got Auburn in Florida on Saturday, February 8th. That's at 3 p.m., and Auburn and Alabama on Saturday, March 8th at 1 p.m. So I will be continuously reminding you of that when we come in from break throughout the rest of this program this week. But all righty, moving on to our upcoming matchup here, as I very dramatically looked ahead to before we went to break, Auburn and Georgia. Man, if this were the football season, we'd be hyping this up just as much. Obviously, big rivalry matchup there. But Georgia, number 23 in the country. Auburn having to go in enemy territory to take on the Bulldogs here. This one's huge. And it was going to be a huge game. It was going to be a huge matchup no matter what. I mean, come on. It's a ranked Georgia on the road. But with this Jahni Broome injury, which I don't believe he's going to be back in time for, this is looking like all the bigger of a beast for the Tigers to take on. Jahni Broome was walking in an air cast. He was putting weight on his left ankle. So the injury may not be as severe as initially thought. And even then, we heard reports pretty early that it was like a pretty low severity ankle sprain. Didn't require surgery or anything like that, obviously. But he may return sooner than anticipated. So I don't know. We may eventually get confirmation on whether he's playing in the Georgia game, but I am going to judge this game as if he isn't, especially with how well Auburn looked against Mississippi State with that 22-point win. I don't know why they would be rushing his return. Because the top-ranked Tigers have clearly proven they are deserving of that number one ranking as they head into this game. So, looking at the Bulldogs here, I always try to look at these teams in two regards. I look at the opponents that Auburn faces in regards to who they faced and how statistically how they compare to Auburn. Looking at Georgia here at surface level, they're pretty unpredictable, and that's something you never want to hear. Their performances offensively, I've noticed, is kind of hit or miss. Sometimes they'll put up some good points. Other times it looks like they are allergic to the net. But against higher caliber ranked competition, that's where the inconsistency comes in as well. They're a bit more of a mixed bag. Just throughout this season so far, some of their highest and lowest points, they've got convincing losses to Marquette and Ole Miss. Not ideal. But those are two good programs right now. Ole Miss has been ranked SEC squad, conference opponent, obviously. Marquette, I believe, is in the top 10 right now. So there's no shame in losing to those teams. But Georgia got beat up by them. It's one thing to lose to them. Georgia was out of their element against them. Lost both of those games by double digits. However, then you got them turning around, and they got convincing wins over Kentucky and Oklahoma. Oklahoma is, like, I believe in the current AP Top 25, they are the second team out, as you would call them, because they're one of the first teams outside of the Top 25 that are receiving votes by the AP voters. And I think the only reason they fell out of the ranking is because of their loss to Georgia. So they're obviously a good team. Kentucky, come on, it's a household name. They're number 8 in the country right now. So to see Georgia beat up on those guys, it makes you think, okay, I've got nothing to make of these dudes. They also have a close win over St. John's. Going back to those teams that are sitting outside of the rankings, St. John's is currently the first team out. So you got the top 25, and then number 26 unofficially is St. John's. So they've got multiple wins over teams that are either currently ranked or have been ranked and are floating around the poll right now, but they've also got those ugly losses to Marquette and Ole Miss. And got to add something else to that. Last night, they faced number 6 Tennessee. And similarly to the Rebels game, they were out of their element. They got beat up. They lost by 18. They lost 74-56. Remember that offense I talked about? The offense that sometimes it looks like the prime Golden State Warriors from the mid to late 2010s. Other times it's like this team is lucky to hit 60. Obviously last night they didn't. So I don't know what to make of Georgia when it comes to how they've done. I don't know if you're going to get the best version of them, the worst versions of them. I think Auburn is going to be able to handle, I hope that they are going to be able to handle either form, because Georgia's barely ranked. Auburn is great. I have said it before, and I'll say it again. Auburn is facing a lot of good competition. They are a great team, though, and you see that difference shine in most of their games. So I don't know if Auburn's going to be able to handle both sides of Georgia here. I hope so. Statistically, defense has been the main thing we look out for when eyeing Auburn's opponents, and unfortunately, that adds to the case for the Bulldogs. They have both more rebounds and more steals than the Tigers this season, each category favoring them by significant margins. This is not some, you know, neck-at-neck thing. Oh, well, Georgia's got two more rebounds or whatever. No, they've got significantly more. Especially, once again, if Janiah Broome isn't back in time for this game, currently seems like he won't be. I can't promise that Auburn's going to be able to keep up with that. I can't promise that that won't be a difference maker, because I know South Carolina gave you a scare, and I know that I said that's an outlier, but Georgia's all the better than South Carolina, it seems. And going on the road, riding high after a big win, if any game was going to officially trip you up, it looks like it may be this one. And that's just when it comes to Broome's absence defensively. We're not even remembering his sizable impact on offense as the team's leading scorer and assists leader. He just does so much for the team. Auburn can typically handle him being gone, but against such bigger competition, I don't know. If anyone can handle this kind of adversity, it is Auburn. I will say that. If anyone can handle a ranked Georgia on the road while missing their best player, it's this Auburn team, without a doubt. It was important to see how we were reminded of that against Mississippi State. And quite frankly, it's their effort in that dominating win that's the only thing keeping me so conflicted here. If Auburn lost to Mississippi State, or even if they beat Mississippi State but struggled, I think I would take Georgia, no questions asked, in this game. But Auburn has kept me invested. They have revived my belief in them by beating up on those Bulldogs as tough as they did. So I just don't know what to make of this game. I will tell you this. I'm lying. I do know what to make of this game because I have a score prediction and I have an explanation as to why that we'll get into at the end of today's episode. But it's going to be a close game. I'll tell you that much. It's going to be a close game. And I'm not confident in the pick at all. Is that fair? Does that make it sound a bit more graceful? I do have Auburn keeping this a close game, regardless of win or lose. But as I said, I do have a final score, and I have tried my best to justify it, but it's tough. Because I just don't know what to make of Auburn, and I don't know what to make of Georgia. Auburn's last two games have thrown me for a loop. Georgia's entire season has been a roller coaster. So we'll just have to see how that turns out, but it should be a good game nonetheless. And that's really the main thing we need to ask for here. Obviously, if Auburn does lose, it's not going to be some season-defining loss. I mean, come on, they're 16-1, they're number one in the country, they're unbeaten in SEC play. If you lose, especially if you lose close at a ranked Georgia, nobody's going to give up on you. Nobody's going to look at you and go, frauds. You're one of the most proven teams in America. So even if you do lose, heaven forbid, it's not going to be the end of the world. You're listening to War Eagle Weekly every Thursday morning from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. You can find this episode of War Eagle Weekly, all previous ones, on our podcast page at ESPNPensacola.com. You can also find other podcasts there, including The College Try with yours truly, Austin Price. Hey, yes, shameless plug there. Also, you can find Glass Half Full with Jordan Glass. He's on vacation this week. He will be coming back, I believe, Monday. But I only heard that because I was eavesdropping on him talking to his own audience, so I don't know. I could be wrong on that. Either way, got those podcasts for you on that page there on our site. You can also listen to ESPN Pensacola on 99.1 FM, 1330 AM, or on your ESPN Pensacola mobile app. We're going to take a quick break. When we return, we're going to be looking at some of these other games that are going on around the SEC over the course of the next week. I've been really stressing how the SEC, very deep conference, a lot of ranked teams, a lot of winning teams, and now that we're getting into the meat of our conference schedules, we're seeing a lot of those guys encounter one another, and not just Auburn and Georgia. We've got a lot going on. We'll tackle it all coming up.
Hi, I'm Bill Clark, host of War Eagle Weekly here on ESPN Radio. Now that college football regular season has come to a close, tune into War Eagle Weekly Thursdays from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. for the latest on Auburn basketball, as well as other Tiger sports-related news and analysis. My co-host, Austin Price, and I will bring you up to date on the latest Auburn basketball results and preview upcoming games. Tune into War Eagle Weekly every Thursday, 10 to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. War Eagle.
Hi, I'm Rachel with Coach and Four Steakhouse. For 45 years, we've been an owned and operated three-generation family business. We welcome every guest that walks through our doors as an old friend. We're open from 5 to 9 on Wednesday and Thursday, and from 4:30 to 10 on Fridays and Saturdays. Saddle up to our bar and get a half-pound burger with fries and a beer for just $11.95 every day before 6:30. This offer is only available in the bar and cannot be combined with any other coupons, discounts, or specials. Cochin Forest Steakhouse, on Pine Forest Road across the street from the Speedway.
Hurricane season is here. Millions of people live in hurricane evacuation zones in Florida. This means that if an evacuation needs to happen, a lot of people need to get on the road. But if you're halfway full, you're halfway there. Keeping your gas tank at least half full during hurricane season ensures you won't have to wait in long lines to get gas when it's time to go. And you don't have to travel hundreds of miles. A half a tank of gas can easily get you to a safe location that's tens of miles away. For more tips, visit halfwayfullhalfwaydare.com.
This message is sponsored by the Florida Division of Emergency Management, Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Hey, if you own or manage a business in the greater Pensacola area, how would you like to get your business in front of men ages 25 to 54? Well, that's who listens to ESPN Pensacola.
Hey!
Okay, men ages 25 to 54 and Sarah.
Excuse me?
And Jill. Whether it be a radio ad with ESPN Pensacola or online through ADX Digital, we can come up with the best solutions for you. Get in front of men ages 25 to 54 and Sarah and Jill.
Woohoo! Yeah!
Just go to our website, ESPNPensacola.com, click on the sales opportunity.
Children, senior citizens, and families right here in Northwest Florida are hungry. And for more than 40 years, Manna Food Bank has provided food assistance to neighbors in need. Manna distributes healthy groceries through its emergency food assistance pantry, plus 17 food security programs with 22 community partners. For more information, please visit mannahelps.org or call 850-432-2053. Manna, moving our neighbors in need from hunger to hope.
Health and Hope Clinic provides free health care to the uninsured and the medically underserved in our community. They provide free primary, preventative, specialty care, dental, and pharmacy assistance with the help of our 330 volunteer doctors, dentists, and nurses. If you or someone you know are looking for medical assistance, please visit healthandhopeclinic.org or call 850-479-4456. Health and Hope Clinic's mission is to provide health and hope to the hurting and underserved.
Amber and Ian, weeknights 6 to 9 on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. All sports, all the time.
Listening to War Eagle Weekly every Thursday morning from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. Brought to you by Cochin Forest Steakhouse. You can find them on Pine Forest Road right across the street from Five Flags Speedway. Saddle up to the bar and get yourself a half-pound burger with fries and a beer for just $11.95 every day before 6:30. Also brought to you by my co-host, Bill Clark, who is feeling under the weather. If you're just joining us, it's just Austin Price up here with you today. Not too much going on. We've been touching on some of this stuff with some of these previous games. First, it was South Carolina and Mississippi State. Very conflicting performances there. And then we had Georgia, who's upcoming for the Tigers on Saturday. And they're a very, very tough nut to crack as far as just how good of a team they are and how consistent they are, which has seemingly been a problem for a lot of SEC teams. Hopefully not much with Auburn. At least that's been the case so far this year. But yeah, back to the sponsorships. Cochin Forest Steakhouse, Bill Clark, thanks to them very much for sponsoring this program and riding with us throughout this season. Also want to give you another reminder, you can listen to ESPN Pensacola on 99.1 FM, 1330 AM, or on your ESPN Pensacola mobile app, and you can listen to this episode of War Eagle Weekly and all previous on our local podcast page at ESPNPensacola.com. Last plug here, Greater Pensacola Auburn Club will be hosting watch parties at O'Reilly's downtown for the following Auburn men's basketball games. You ready? Auburn and Tennessee on Saturday, January 25th at 7:30. 7:30 p.m., obviously. Auburn, Florida on Saturday, February 8th at 3 p.m. And Auburn, Alabama on Saturday, March 8th at 1 p.m. Obviously, some big games there. We've been talking about the depth of the SEC and some of these rivalry games up here, especially chippy. Speaking of how tough the SEC can be, speaking of just how deep it is in basketball this year, never thought we'd be talking about the SEC being a basketball conference, but here we are. We've got some pretty loaded slates, particularly on Saturday and about midway next week on Tuesday and Wednesday as well. So starting this weekend on Saturday, January 18th at 11 a.m., we've got Alabama and Kentucky. This is one of the biggest games, not just in the SEC, but also nationally throughout the next week. Alabama number 4 in the nation, Kentucky number 8. Both teams are 14-3 on the year, 3-1 in SEC play. So on surface level, face value, they look completely identical. I think the difference maker in this game, and I know this is going to sound like a cop-out, and please forgive me, but I think the difference maker is just going to be who's at home for this one. It's one of those games where it's just like, man, these guys look neck and neck. Home team, give me Kentucky. They are playing at the Rupp in Lexington. I just don't see the Wildcats losing there. This Alabama team's good. Kentucky's had their dips. I've got the Wildcats at home. I think it would be an especially tall order to ask the Tide to go on the road and win in a place like that, because you know they are going to be popping. We've got number 6, Tennessee. They traveled to Vanderbilt. So we've got a rivalry game here. Very nice. Tennessee, number 6 in the nation. They are 16-1. Vanderbilt has posted up a good record, 14-3. And listen, I'm going to give a bit of a tearful buildup for the Commodores here because I do want to give them a lot of praise. 14-3 on the season. I know a lot of people are going to scoff at that. A lot of basketball fans are going to hear that, and they're going to think, okay, they've fed on a weaker out of conference because they're 2-2 in the SEC. So they're how great are they really? And I know people are going to say that, and that's fine. The problem is I want to give credit to the Commodores anyway, and I think I already gave them a little bit last week because Vandy, didn't they only win like 9 games last year? Weren't the Commodores terrible in basketball last season? So I don't care that they're 2-2 in the SEC. I don't care that that 14-3 record may be somewhat inflated by smaller competition. To see them already outshining, their season's like just over half over. To see them already outshining what they did in an entire season last year, just a year ago, is impressive. I give them credit for that. They are hosting the Volunteers. Volunteers looking like one of the toughest teams, probably the toughest team in the SEC. Well, I don't want to say that. I was about to say the toughest not named Auburn, but Florida is number 5, beat the snot out of them. So maybe they're the third toughest team. But they've only got one loss. They're coming to Vandy. I would love to see the Commodores get a statement win here and silence the doubters. I don't think it's going to happen, but I would love to see it happen. I've got Tennessee, though, and I've got them big. I just spent the last minute and a half just dropping to my knees and praising the Vanderbilt Commodores' turnaround, but I just don't think it's enough to beat the Vols here. So at home, maybe they have a strong push, may get an early lead, blow it, Vols win by around, I don't know, 24 points. I genuinely don't think it's going to be that close, but that's not a knock on Vandy. I think it is a testament to just how good of a program Tennessee is right now. Next up, we've got Texas at Florida. Just mentioned the Gators, number 5 in the country. They're 15-2. They're 2-2 in SEC play. That's not exactly ideal, but they've got that 30-point win over Tennessee that really put them on the map this year as far as, okay, this team isn't just benefiting from a high ranking or from any bias or whatever. This is a team that's for real. You beat Tennessee, period. That's a big win. You beat them by 30, you're looking like a contender. They're hosting Texas. Texas, now this is a team that we can hold accountable. This is a team that we can look at and say, hold on, Buster, you're not that good. You fed on the weak. Texas is 12-5. They've got 5 losses now, and they are 1-3 in SEC play. Yeah, so we got a bit of a paper tiger going to a proven contender. Gainesville is not going to go easy on the Longhorns. Give me the Gators big. They win that game by over 20. South Carolina goes to Oklahoma. South Carolina is another one, and they're even worse than Texas. They are a team that is good. I think they proved against Auburn that they're good. But I've always said this in sports, and that is if you have your best game in a loss, you're not that good of a team. I think South Carolina's best performance all year was almost beating Auburn. But I'm sorry, that doesn't get you much with me. Good job giving them a scare. Good job keeping yourselves in that game like you did. But if your best look, your peak through 17 games was, well, we almost beat a damaged Auburn. If that is the best that you can give me, and you're 10-7 on the year, winless in SEC play nonetheless, I'm not impressed. But you're going to Oklahoma, who's 13-4, better record, not a great one though, yet they have the same conference record, 0-4 in SEC play. So we're looking at two teams that are good, decent, visibly flawed. I think this is another home game situation. South Carolina's got to travel a good ways into Norman, Lloyd Noble. Give me the Sooners. Hopefully it's a competitive game just for viewership's sake, but I've got Oklahoma winning this one just because. I think if you send this game to South Carolina, the Gamecocks get it done. All right. Now we're back into some more relevant action. Ole Miss, Mississippi State, another rivalry. Both of these teams ranked. Ole Miss 15-2 on the year, unbeaten in SEC play. And mind you, they've got that convincing win over Georgia. They are going to Starkville to take on the Mississippi State Bulldogs. Mississippi State 14-3, 2-2 in the SEC, so they're a bit more hit or miss against league play. Man, this is tough. This is tough. Honestly, I know that Mississippi State is ranked higher, and I know they're at home, but after getting humbled by that broomless Auburn team, I've got to assume a lot of people are taking the Rebels here, and I'm going to as well. I've got Ole Miss going on the road to a higher-ranked rival and winning. Mississippi State killed a lot of my faith in them after Auburn manhandled them like they did, so give me the Rebels. Hopefully, once again, though, it's a good game. Another rivalry here, Arkansas at Missouri. Oh, geez, Arkansas. 11-6, winning record, my friend. I'll give you a nod for that. You got a winning record. That's about all you got, though. You're winless in SEC play. You're going on the road to a 14-3 Missouri, who's 3-1 in SEC play. Their only conference loss, mind you, is to Auburn. Give me the Tigers. And then we've got LSU, speaking of Tigers. They're 12-6, 1-3 in the SEC. They go to number 11, Texas A&M, who's 13-4, 2-2 in the SEC. So you're going to a ranked team that has a better record than you in league play and overall. College Station is always known for its fan base, bringing down the house. Give me the Aggies. You're listening to War Eagle Weekly every Thursday morning from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. Brought to you by Coach and Four Steakhouse and Bill Clark. Austin Price here in the studio with you. We just went over the Saturday slate. That was just Saturday. I really built that up. I'm proud of myself. Made that very theatrical. Now we're going to cut ahead to Tuesday, where we've only got a few games. Don't worry. We got Vanderbilt at Alabama. I think Alabama gets brought down a notch against Kentucky on Saturday. We already touched on that, but they're going to be back home, out for blood. Vandy's going to have just gotten beaten up by a rival. They're going to be deflated. Give me the Tide big. I think the Tide kicked the Commodores while they're down. We've got number 15 Mississippi State going to number 6 Tennessee. Man, that is an awesome game just for your average Tuesday night. I think Tennessee still wins convincingly, though, because Mississippi State is going to be in a similar situation as the Commodores in the sense of we just got exposed by a rival of ours, and now we got to go on the road to a top 10 team. Point to me on a map where that sounds good for the Bulldogs. You can't. It's terrible. That's just a tough hand that Mississippi State's been dealt. They have got to they had already played somebody else recently. They played South Carolina, and obviously they just had Auburn, who's number one in the country. They have to play a ranked rival and then go to number 6 Tennessee. So if you ever doubt how tough the SEC is in basketball, again, you're an idiot because you just need to ask Mississippi State. I've got Tennessee winning that game. As I said before, there's just not much that favors the Bulldogs there. It's as simple as that. Last game on Tuesday, January 21st, in SEC play, that is, we got Missouri at Texas. This is a trap game for sure. This is a trap game for Mizzou. I think they win, but this is probably going to be the best game in the SEC on Tuesday. Give me the Tigers, and I'll take them by single digits. I don't want to pinpoint. I only pinpoint really for the Auburn games. I don't want to pinpoint for these because it all starts to blend together. But give me Mizzou close at Texas. I'll say they win by 8. How's that sound? On Wednesday, we've got number 5 Florida at South Carolina. I'm going to give a hot take. I think now that I'm looking at it, I think this is going to be a trap game as well. I don't think South Carolina wins, but I think maybe Florida has to pull away late. Columbia can be a very tough college environment. And South Carolina, I have them losing to OU, don't I? So wouldn't that make them 0-5 in the SEC? Yeah, man. Florida's going to be feeling like they are on cloud 9. They're going to be strolling into Columbia, feeling all confident. And I think the Gamecocks punch them in the mouth. I think that's a close game, but Florida pulls away in the final 6 minutes or so. Also got number 11, Texas A&M at number 21, Ole Miss. That's a good one, but in Oxford, I just can't imagine the Aggies get that done. I think Ole Miss is going to end up, over the course of this next week, they are going to end up proving themselves as one of the most competitive teams in the SEC. We've been talking about Auburn, obviously. We've been talking about Tennessee. We've been talking about Florida. I think Ole Miss is going to beat Mississippi State on the road, and they're going to beat this A&M team at home, and they're going to be saying, listen, we are unbeaten. What would that make us, 6-0 in the SEC? We are going to we're here, man. How many teams are we going to have to beat for you to give us some love? They're only a 2-loss team. I really like Ole Miss this year. I think they are a team to look out for in the Southeastern, and I think they prove it once again over the Aggies there. And then your last game on Wednesday, number 23, Georgia at Arkansas. That's probably just going to be the Razorbacks taking another licking. Georgia, once again, very good team. Going into Arkansas, that's tough. I don't think Arkansas has that, even with a slightly better record than South Carolina right now. I don't think they have that upset game gene. And maybe I'm biased towards the Gamecocks because they almost beat Auburn. I don't know, but I just thought it would be fun to imagine the Gamecocks giving you a bit of a scare there if you're the Gators. Arkansas does not capture that same magic. They get dismembered by Georgia. You're listening to War Eagle Weekly every Thursday morning from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. We're going to take one last quick break. When we return, we're going to break down the college football playoff national title game. We've typically been touching on the college football playoff these past few weeks, late in our episodes, and it's a good game on paper. I don't know if it's going to turn out being a good one, but it's a great story for both teams there, what they've had to overcome and how they've been doubted at times throughout this season. And they're there in spite of all of it, so good for them. But we're going to touch on that. I'm going to give my prediction on that game, and then, of course, I'll give that prediction that I oh so verbosely, probably not a word, but I'm going to stick with it, oh so verbosely mentioned talking about the Auburn-Georgia game. The score I've got for that and my explanation for that, we'll get to that, of course, as our final send-off into your remaining Thursday time. But anyway, I'm rambling. Got one last segment coming up. Going to tackle the CFP national title game and that Auburn-Georgia game. Stick around.
Hi, I'm Bill Clark, host of War Eagle Weekly here on ESPN Radio. Now that college football regular season has come to a close, tune into War Eagle Weekly Thursdays from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. for the latest on Auburn basketball, as well as other Tiger sports-related news and analysis. My co-host, Austin Price, and I will bring you up to date on the latest Auburn basketball results and preview upcoming games. Tune into War Eagle Weekly every Thursday, 10 to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. War Eagle.
Hi, I'm Rachel with Coach and Four Steakhouse. For 45 years, we've been an owned and operated three-generation family business. We welcome every guest that walks through our doors as an old friend. We're open from 5 to 9 on Wednesday and Thursday, and from 4:30 to 10 on Fridays and Saturdays. Saddle up to our bar and get a half-pound burger with fries and a beer for just $11.95 every day before 6:30. This offer is only available in the bar and cannot be combined with any other coupons, discounts, or specials. Coach and Four Steakhouse on Pine Forest Road across the street from the Speedway.
Man, I loved playing high school sports growing up. And it's fun being a fan now, don't get me wrong, but sitting in the stands feels like I'm missing out on all the action, you know? I wanted to get back in the game. So, I signed up to be a high school official. It takes me back to my playing days. I'm supporting students, and I get paid to make the big calls. Do you want to see the game up close? Sign up to become an official in Florida at highschoolofficials.com.
Everyone deserves to live a full life, beginning with a nourishing meal. However, right here in our local Gulf Coast community, 1 in 6 individuals, including 1 in 4 children, face hunger. Feeding the Gulf Coast works with more than 800 community partners across 24 counties along the Florida Panhandle and throughout South Alabama and South Mississippi to help connect individuals with the food they need to thrive. Would you stand alongside us to turn hunger into hope for those who need it most? To get involved or find a food pantry near you, visit feedinggulfcoast.org.
Studer Community Institute is a nonprofit committed to making our community a better place to live by building brains, building jobs, and building community. Building brains are our efforts to inform and empower parents on the importance of early brain development. Building jobs includes programs to help local entrepreneurs succeed, along with skills training opportunities for business leaders. It all builds community, including many partnerships that enhance our vision of making Pensacola the best place to live in the world. Get involved by visiting our website, studeri.org.
Are you looking for a place to feed your passion for singing and connect with other young people who love to perform? Then come join us at the Pensacola Children's Chorus. For as little as $15 a month, any child in grades 1 through 12 can come and discover the magic of music. No prior experience is necessary. Whether the stage is your second home or you're a total beginner, there's a place for you in the choir. For details on how to join, visit us online at pensacolasings.org.
Hey, Pensacola sports enthusiasts, get ready for an action-packed day of sports talk on ESPN Pensacola. Starting at 9 a.m., it's Greeny with Mike Greenberg. Then, from 11 to 2, buckle up for the Rich Eisen Show, where Rich dives deep into the day's biggest sports stories. At 2 p.m., don't miss the Paul Feinbaum Show, your ticket to the world of college football and beyond. And at 6 p.m., wrap up your day with Amber and Fitz. It's a lineup that hits out of the park on 1330 a.m., 99.1 FM. Stay plugged into the sports conversation. Unsportsmanlike. Weekdays, 5 to 9 on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. All sports, all the time.
Had a bit of a robotic intro there, kind of teasing us with the beat drop there. My goodness, what was that glitch about? You're listening to War Eagle Weekly every Thursday morning from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. I don't know if that was just my headset or what, but if you heard that popping throughout the fight song, I am sorry for that. This show is brought to you by Coach and Four Steakhouse on Pine Forest Road across from Five Flags Speedway. I'm also brought to you by my co-host Bill Clark, my partner in crime. He is not here this week because he's feeling a little bit under the weather, but that's okay. The show must go on, literally. When we left off, we were talking about Austin Price here in the studio with you, by the way. My goodness, I'm all over the place. When we left off, we were kind of looking ahead to the college football playoff national title game. I wanted to give my thoughts on that in these final moments here before I give you my prediction for Auburn, Georgia. That's going on this Saturday, January 18th. All right, so college football playoff, Notre Dame, Ohio State, it all comes down to this, blah, blah, blah. I love Notre Dame's story this year. I want to start with that. I'm going to give them the Vanderbilt treatment. I'm gonna build them up before I tear them down. Notre Dame has been a phenomenal story. I doubted Marcus Freeman when he first came to Notre Dame. Or not when he first came. When he first took over for Brian Kelly after Kelly left Notre Dame. I saw this young guy compared to a lot of these coaching vets. He's a kid. He's significantly older than me, but he's still a kid compared to some of them in the scene. And he was completely unproven. All the hype surrounding him was driven on like, oh, well, he's got potential, and he brings a good energy to the team. That is a nothing burger. That means nothing to me. I want to see it on the field. So he had a tall order, but even then, it was a comfortable position. Notre Dame's a big job, but he got it in a comfortable place. Brian Kelly didn't have him as a title contender, but he had him in a good spot, a formidable spot. So when he took on this job and I start seeing 9-win seasons, 10-win seasons, because that's what he had over the first couple years, and he had those losses to Marshall. He had like a loss to a 3-win Stanford. I'm like, dude, you can't win the games that don't matter. How in the world am I supposed to look at you and assume you're going to win the games that do? But you know what? He lost to Northern Illinois, and I doubted him even more. He and his guys have proceeded to run the table, and they've made the national title game, and that's great. And I think he's proven that he's the guy to lead them going forward, so I want to tip my cap to him on that. But with that said, I feel like you're not only going to lose this game, you're going to get killed in it. I think Penn State was a better matchup for Ohio State in particular. You beat them fair and square, and I'm trying to take that away from you. But I feel like Penn State against Ohio State in particular was a better matchup because you had the rivalry factor. You had the rematch factor. Both of these teams, Penn State and Notre Dame, had rather forgettable playoff paths. So Penn State would have needed all the help they could get, and they had more help than Notre Dame coming into this game. I think we've had some good playoff games recently, but Ohio State's going to beat up on them because they're just so much better, so much faster than everyone else, just on a whole different level, and you don't have the rivalry factor, and you don't have the rematch after a close result from the regular season like what Penn State had. So I think Ohio State wins this game 37-17. I think they beat the snot out of Notre Dame, and that's discouraging because a lot of people want competitive games. Who doesn't, especially on that stage? But I just think this game is Ohio State's to lose, and I think they run away with it, as they have with every other playoff game so far. All right, as for Auburn, Georgia, back to the men's basketball theme here. Saturday, January 18th, I've got Georgia. Georgia ranked at home. I've got them 76-72. The Tigers gave it their all against Mississippi State, and that's great. But the more elite competition you face one game after the other, I mean, I'm not trying to sound like a broken record because I know there's a lot of pro Southeastern Conference folks that are like, oh, my God, it's so tough out here. They're, you know, basketball fans starting to sound like the football fans. But it is. It's elite competition. And it just keeps coming one after the other. Just nonstop punches. The more elite competition you face on at that pace, the more you're likely going to feel the absence of your top talent. You've convinced me that you'll keep it an outstanding game. I said that before. But I think the consequences of Broome's injury will have just barely caught up to you by the end of it, assuming that he's not in there, which, as I said, I haven't heard that he will be. I don't think he will be. So give me the Bulldogs, unfortunately. 76-72 gives Auburn their second loss of the season. You've been listening to War Eagle Weekly every Thursday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola, 99.1 FM, 1330 a.m. All sports, all the time. We'll see you next week. Be safe out there.
You're listening to ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. All sports, all the time. WEBY, Milton, Pensacola.